This episode is brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is a trusted and leading North American distributor of electrical, communications, data networking, and industrial products that supports projects of any industry. Construction, hospitals, industrial plants, schooling, and more. Yep, Graybar does that. Graybar operates with one clear mission: to serve as the vital link in the supply chain, adding value for customers and suppliers with innovative solutions and services. But here's what makes them different from the competition: being able to effectively navigate supply chains to get products on site and on time is crucial these days. And Graybar's nationwide logistics network, with over 290 locations across the country, assists owners and professionals build and maintain the operations in their electrical, communications, and industrial world by providing them what they need, when and where they need it, and within budget. Yep, Graybar does that. To view more information on their services, head to graybar.com. That's graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that. This episode is brought to you by Putter Cup. More than a training aid, it's a skill enhancer. Visit puttercupgolf.com and use the code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. Now, let me explain. We've discussed many training aids on this podcast, and frankly, there have been a lot that have crossed my desk that you never heard me talk about, either because I didn't get it, or I thought it wasn't worth your time. But Putter Cup is different. After nearly 20 years in the market research industry, Matt Davis, a lifelong golf nut like all of us, had an idea on how he could help every golfer feel more calm and confident when they putt. This isn't a device to improve your mechanics or develop the perfect stroke. Putter Cup is designed to strengthen your focus and reduce distracting thoughts while you're putting. How? Putter Cups are golf hole inserts that encourage golfers to focus on the putting essentials of speed and aim. They're lightweight and easily fit into your bag, so you can fine-tune your focus before every round and at every practice session. Putter Cup gives you instant feedback, so it's easy to get dialed in quickly and feel confident as you head to the first tee. You've got to check it out for yourself. Go to puttercupgolf.com and use code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. And combined with the 15% discount you get with the Pressure Putt Combo, you really save. And the Pressure Putt Combo includes both the Speed Bump and the Center Cup, two very different but very valuable skill enhancers. That's puttercupgolf.com and get 20% off your next order with promo code GOLFSMARTER.
The less you emphasize putting, the better you'll putt. The more you talk about it and think about it, I think it puts a block. I think with Hogan, he hit it so close in his later years, and he felt like he should be rewarded for that. And I think that's what happened with Hogan. He made statements that said putting shouldn't be so important. You should get points just for getting it close to the hole. Well, that was his frustration coming out because he did hit it so close. And unfortunately, he did have the yips. He couldn't pull a putter back on a short putt. The only time I had the pleasure of seeing him play golf, and at the Olympic Club, he played in the, I think it was the Open. And, I mean, he hit every fairway, every green, and I don't think he had more than a 12-foot putt all day. And the only putts he made were kick-ins. But when he got that 4 or 5 footer, his pant leg would be shaking. He couldn't pull the putter back.
Wow.
Now you think about that. This is a guy that could go in a motel and hit a 2-iron right down the hallway and not hit either side.
How are you? I hope you, your family, and all your friends are well and safe. This is the craziest time I've ever experienced in my life, and it's also really scary for all of us. I'll talk more about why golf is so important for us right now during this pandemic at the close of the episode, but let me focus. Thank you so much for asking for more information about Tony's video, but I'd like to read just one of the many emails I received this week about these episodes with Tony Manzoni from Golf Smarter listener Johnny Martinez. He said, I bought Tony's book after listening to your Golf Smarter and Mulligan's podcast with him last Friday, went out and tried it at the range on Saturday, started making solid straight drives, never could do that before, and played Sunday and hit three drives over 270 yards straight down the fairway, resulting in two eagle putt attempts. Ended up with two birdies, but still. I'm a 17 handicapper with a 200-yard drive average, so this is amazing to me. To say I was blown away is an understatement. Thanks, Johnny. And as for today's show, the original episode was titled Taking Your Game to the Next Level, One Club at a Time. And again, because I enjoyed talking to Tony so much, it was about an hour long. Well, part two of this conversation has just been published on Golf Smarter Mulligan's number 48. And what you're about to hear is Tony and I just chatting about golf, but we also covered so many other topics. Next week, we'll continue with two more episodes with Tony, and we'll continue the theme of taking your game to the next level. Golf Smarter, number 732. Putting, Ben Hogan's Yips, getting fitted for clubs, Frank Sinatra. Talking golf with Tony Manzoni.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Tony.
How are you, Fred?
I am doing well and so glad to hear from you again. It's been quite a while. But let me give the audience just a taste of how many times you've been on this podcast. The first time back in 2010, we were introduced. And since then, you've been on 12 different episodes, 251. And take notes of this, folks, because after you hear this conversation with Tony, you're going to want to go back and listen to other things he has to say, because I've had Golf Smarter listeners have told me that they've traveled cross country to go get lessons with Tony, right? You've had people come in from New Jersey or Connecticut or something, Tony?
Yeah, the doctor come in from New York. He runs one of the largest hospitals there, and he came in for a 2-day golf instruction period. And, you know, just kind of, first of all, I was flabbergasted, number one, and, you know, it was a big compliment, and he's turned out to be just a wonderful friend on top of it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. I have a feeling I know who you're talking about. So 251, 254, and then we were doing two-part episodes. We would do like an hour together, but we'd break it up into two episodes. So 291 and 292, 328, 408 and 409, 437, 438 and 439, 456 and 457. Now, 457 back in 2014... really? You haven't been on that long? My favorite, it's one of my favorite titles of all time. And the question I pose to you, Tony, if Tiger Woods called you for help, what would you say? I loved that. That was a great episode. So I don't really, 2014 was the last time you're on? That doesn't make sense. Anyway, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you so much.
I'm very pleased, Fred, and it's been a long time. But you know, as we get older, time goes by a little faster. I mean, in a blink of an eye, I'm an old man. So
I'm not even going to ask this time how old you are, because I think I asked you before, which was rude, and I'm not going to do it again. But you've outlived a lot of your friends. Let's just say that.
Let's just say my speedometer's turned over a few times.
Yeah, and you've outlived a lot of friends and a lot of famous people that you hung out with down in the desert. Isn't it true?
That's true. I mean, starting out with the number one guy, Frank Sinatra, his death was, you know, it was a catastrophe for all his fans, including myself.
Yeah, I bet. But didn't you tell me once that hanging out with Sinatra and the Rat Pack down in those days, down in the desert, kind of had a negative impact on your golf career, didn't it? Your professional touring golf career.
Well, I was just when his the lady that ran his compound, her name was Vine, and I was working at Mission Hills Country Club as head professional. Once I got invited, it seemed like I got invited just about every night, because he was retired at that time. And I was opening up that pro shop, close to 5:30 every morning, and I was leaving the Sinatra compound after 2 o'clock in the morning every evening. So, yes, everything suffered a bit, but I couldn't pass that opportunity.
No,
it was an incredible thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are golfers who have played on the tour who said, yes, I played on the tour and I won once. But none of them get to say, but I got to hang out with Sinatra every night for way too long.
Yeah, I was
amazing.
It still feels like a Fellini film to me when I look back on the people I met and the unbelievable dinners and conversation. It was just incredible.
That's amazing. I've been promoting this podcast that I've been putting out recently as a show that I did in 1987, but it's just so much fun that I had to bring it back, of this show Radio Baseball Cards that's hosted by the late Don Drysdale. You knew Drysdale as well, right?
I did. I met him on a couple of occasions, and I also knew his wife, who's involved in a lot of golf activities. And, she was an Olympic champion and an unbelievable gal. But Don was a unique individual and very nice, and obviously one of the great pitchers of all time. And I have a baseball signed by him that I cherish.
Unbelievable. All right, well, let's talk about golf now. Enough history on where you've been and the marks that you've left. I had this idea, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about taking your game to the next level, one club at a time, right? Because there are some clubs, for some people, just don't work, right? Right.
That, I think golf clubs, as we all know that play and suffer through this challenge, some golf clubs don't like you. I mean, I've had wedges that I wanted to tie to my car and drive around the block, pay them back for all the skull shots that I hit with them. So, yeah.
I had a 5-iron that I was allergic to. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, all kidding aside, that's why getting fitted is so important, because then you eliminate the blame factor.
But I just, I recently was fitted for a new set of clubs, and I really love these clubs, but there seems to be one club that is not cooperating. I'm hitting everything where I'm pointing. I'm my target, it goes to where I'm, focused on, except this one club just takes these huge right turn every time. Is that possibly because there's one club that was not correctly made in that set? I mean, what can I do about that?
Sure. Loft and lie changes, especially if they're not cast clubs. And even cast clubs, you can move them a little bit. So, yeah, that happens a lot. Or it's, it's because you fear hitting the shot with that club. Which compounds the problem. And, probably in most cases, that's it. It's so difficult to stay in that and have that feeling that you're going to hit a good shot prior to hitting it. And I think that's the challenge for everyone at every level.
Yeah. I haven't had them long enough to fear the club, and it's a club that, in previous sets, I've been, really excited about, oh, good, I've got a 6-iron shot that I want to make here. And now this 6-iron is baffling me. I'm just wondering if maybe I should take it back to the club fitter and say, can we test to see if this is within its correct specs? Is that?
Oh, sure. They can do that quite easily. They can check the loft and lie on the club, and they can also check the shaft, if it's, performing properly. And they have your whole set that to go by, so they can just make sure that it is matched. And this does happen. There's no question about it. But I'm glad to hear that you had your clubs fitted. And that's really an important thing. When you think of the top professionals have it done, we meager players must have it done. And that's the problem. Most people will go and buy a club right off the rack, and then they're chagrined when it doesn't work for them. And a lot of times it's just because the club doesn't fit.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
What about if they go into the shop and said, hey, you know what? I hit my friend's driver and I crushed it. I want to buy that driver.
Yeah, it's hard to replicate. I mean, I have a good friend that is, he's noted for those kinds of things. And he'll go and he'll try a demo club, but he'll want to buy that demo club. You know, and a lot of times they say, but we can't sell you this one, but we'll get one like it. But he refuses to do that because psychologically, if he gets another club that has the same name and it's supposed to be the same thing and he hits a bad shot with it, he's not going to say, well, that shot was because I swung poorly or did something. He's going to say, nah, this isn't the same club. So we're right back to that psychological thing that we all fight.
Yeah, actually about 10 years or so ago, I remember having a conversation on the show with Kenny Nicholson. And he said, if you have an opportunity to swing a friend's club and you like it, try to buy that club off your friend because you're never going to find that exact right club in a
that's
store.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there was no question I was going to get fitted. We've been advocating being fitted, you know, since the very beginning. We've talked to guys like Tom Wishon, one of the, you know, the great custom club makers in the world, and getting fitted is so important. But I always, when I recommend to people to get fitted, they're like, you know, but I'm going to wait till I get more consistent. I want to wait until I feel more comfortable. What do you tell people who don't feel like it's necessary yet? They're going to get to some place where they're going to do that.
I can tell you that's a fallacy. To say that I'm going to wait till I'm going to be more consistent, well, you better have a lifespan of about 200 because the only guy I know that got to that point was Ben Hogan. Everybody else mishits the ball, and that's just the nature of the sport, really. Well, it isn't even a sport. It's a challenge. That's the nature of it. I mean, think about it. There's a little ball sitting there, not a very big target. And we're swinging a golf club in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, depending on your speed and youth, at that little creature down there. And we're told to hit through it, but it's really hard to hit through it without trying to hit it. It's a constant challenge. And say, I'm going to wait till I get consistent. It's just, you know, you want to start laughing. But a lot of people feel, I've heard that said before, and I say, you know, you're going to wait a long time, pal. The whole thing about getting fitted is the clubs feel good. You get a sense of, ooh, this the weight feels right. I feel like I could swing this club, and it gives you confidence. I mean, it really does. And, of course, if they're all somewhat the same, they can't be exactly the same, but if they're somewhat the same, especially the shaft, you got a much better chance to hit. Your miss hits can get much better.
Right, right. Somebody recently said to me, I want to be more consistent first. And I said, well, how do you score? What do you generally shoot? He goes, well, I pretty much shoot in the upper 80s, low 90s consistently. And I said, well, then you are consistent. What's the problem? Well, I have miss hits during the game. I said, well, everybody has miss hits, but are you working on the things that you're not good at when you're practicing? Oh, I never practice. I don't have time to practice. Well, then you're never going to get consistent if you don't practice. And, you know, you want to talk about getting consistent or you want to talk about getting better? Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And really, we learn more about our game when we miss hit the ball than when we really hit it pure. When you drive it down the middle and you just clocked it, you look and you get so excited, but you don't get a lot of feedback because you're kind of in that zone where you're not really thinking about how to do it. When you hit a poor shot, and this is all the golf teams I've had through all the years with these young guys, I tell them, listen, don't let when you hit a poor shot, your first thought is anger. What you should do is watch that ball and blueprint it in your mind of what's the spin on it. Is it spinning right, left, whatever? Or did you hit it thin or did you hit it fat? And then there's a remedy for those things. But if you kind of black out and just get mad, you know, that's the time when you learn. And that's why touring pros are so darn good, because they know when they hit a ball and they block it, they know what they've done, and they can make a quick cure. Mm-hmm. But they're really conscious of what happened. They don't just bluster and slam the club on the ground and so forth.
Well, my favorite is when somebody says, they're having a problem. They go, oh, well, I know what I did wrong. It's really, how do you know that? Have you ever had a lesson? Have you ever had anyone tell you what your issue is? No, but I just know I've watched a lot of TV, so yeah, I know what I'm doing wrong. Oh, okay. we'll let it go at that. the other thing about being fitted for clubs and having clubs in your hands that you feel have been not custom made but customized for you is your level of confidence when you're playing. I know that I've only been playing with these clubs now for just under 2 months, and my last round, I walked out there. I had so much confidence when I walked off the range that I was able to carry through the round that I had one double bogey in the round. And I shot an 80 and I was just ecstatic, but it felt great the entire time. So the amount of confidence.
Sure, that's a wonderful feeling, because the game is a feel game. And it's wonderful when you have something in your hands that feels right. And there's lots of times where you'll have a golf club that doesn't feel right. And I promise you, don't beat your head, beat yourself over the head trying to make it feel good. Get another one. I told you about the 3-wood I had for so long, and it just plagued me. And instead of replacing it like I should have immediately, I fought the darn thing, and it just wasn't for me. And so I suffered with a lot of bad shots, whether it was psychological or the club was really too heavy or whatever. And that's the best advice I can have to anybody. If you have a putter or whatever that you feel like you can't putt with, get another one. I mean, that's okay. I mean, even the touring pros do that.
Yeah, but the touring pros seem to change their grip on their putter a lot, too.
Well, that's probably when you're putting for $1 million, it's a little different than when you're putting for $2. So what happens is that we start getting too involved in the action, and we acquire a little bit of a flitch, they call it the yip, where you're too involved with impact, especially with the putter, where you're in putting the ball is just a matter of swinging the putter back and forth in a rhythm, but they've made so much about it. With all these claw grips and this grip and that grip, and the big grips now are very popular because the hands are taken out of it a bit. But I think the big grips take away the feel of the head, and that was very important. If you look at the putters of the past and some of the great guys that putted, they had very small grips because they wanted to feel the weight of the club head. So you know, it's all relative. But right now, that seems to be the thing. You see the grips on most of the putters are pretty large.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I love having the thick grip on my putter just because it keeps me from squeezing too tightly. It allows me to loosen my hands.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, you can use more of a shoulder arm stroke opposed to, you know, more of a popping or hand stroke. You look at, you know, some of the great putters were, you know, they hinged the putter back and through, like Billy Casper and people like that. And in today's world, you got Seneca, who kind of pop putts everything. But, you know, when I teach, I have a lot of juniors I teach that have done very well. And I don't emphasize a lot of technique in putting. I really want them to have a natural feel and to train them, if anything, on distance control. Their eyes will eventually get used to where, what square is. But when you start talking about putting and how to do it too much, I think you get people too conscious of the stroke during putting the ball. And what are we doing when we're putting? We're rolling the ball on a surface. And, you know, if you just keep it simple like that, you take these little kids, you give them a putter and a ball, and you see them putt terrific because their mind isn't clogged up with all this technique. I think that's it's been so overdone, and there's so many things you can buy where you're putting, take the putter straight back. And good Lord, the greatest putters in the world didn't take it straight back. Some of them cut the putt, some of them hooked the putt. And George Lowe, Maxwell, I've seen so many guys cut putts, but that was their natural way of doing it, and they didn't question it. It's like, you know, it's like Jim Furyk with his golf swing. You know, if you wanted to break that down and say, well, that's not on plane. Well, it is on plane when he hits the ball. So as I teach, and I've been teaching a long time at every level, from touring professional to 25 handicappers, the less you say, the better. The more they can see it and feel it based on words you give them, the better. The more technical you get, most people can't handle that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think most people do their best when they see it more than when they're told how it's supposed to happen. I know as a kid that I caddied, I learned to play golf watching the people hit the ball that I caddied for. So, I don't know, there's a lot to be said about that.
What did you mean when you said cut putting?
Well, there's I'm trying to think of the guy, but he was a great putter on tour. And he literally cut across the ball. He swung from out to in. So he put side spin on it that would literally make the ball, the spin would be going from left to right. And, you know, we've heard many times you get a range ball and get the stripe straight so that when you put it, the stripe doesn't wobble. You know, that's an effective tool to practice. But I'm trying to think of the guy that was the greatest putter of all time, where he hooded the putter going back and then hit from in to out, like you're hooking a ball. And he won a million tournaments because he was such a great putter. My point here is this. You got to do it the way it feels. And once you get away from the natural feel of your putting stroke, and now you start trying to manufacture it, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. All this stuff about, well, don't let your wrist hinge, or it has to be a flat wrist through impact. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. In fact, a lot of times when you're trying to push that thing through with the wrist staying flat, you blockade it all the time. I mean, there's been putters, Bobby Jones, Arnold Palmer, there's been all kinds of ways of doing it. And you got to find the thing that feels comfortable to you, whether it's grip, stance, alignment, what feels comfortable to you, and then just roll the ball on the surface. Just get to where you can roll the ball and get away from all this other stuff. And you're, first of all, you won't get the yips doing that. But boy, when you start overthinking putting, and look at Ben Hogan, that's what he did. And, you know, it's a shame to see it. I have young boys that I train, and they start saying, "Coach, I can't putt," which is just ridiculous. I said, "You mean you can't roll a ball on a flat surface?" And they look at me like, "Well, what do you mean?"
I said, "Well, yeah, I can, but not into a hole."
Yeah. So, but you know, it's honestly, I think the less you emphasize putting, the better you'll putt. The more you talk about it and think about it, I think it puts a block. I think that's where all that stuff comes from. I think with Hogan, he hit it so close in his later years, and he felt like he should be rewarded for that. You know, like a dog when he's a good boy, he goes outside and does his business. When he comes in, he wants a cookie. But in golf, there is no cookie. You still got to get the ball in the hole, whether it's a 5-foot putt or a 50-foot putt. And I think that's what happened with Hogan, because he made statements that said, you know, putting shouldn't be so important. You should get points just for getting it close to the hole. Well, that was his frustration coming out, because he did hit it so close. And unfortunately, he did have the yips. He couldn't pull the putter back on a short putt.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I watched him at the Olympic Club. The only time I had the pleasure of seeing him play golf, and at the Olympic Club, he played in the Open. And, I mean, he hit every fairway, every green, and I don't think he had more than a 12-foot putt all day. And the only putts he made were kick-ins. Hmm. But when he got that four or five-footer, he couldn't. His pant leg would be shaking. He couldn't pull the putter back.
Wow.
Now, you think about that. This is a guy that could go in a motel and hit a two-iron right down the hallway and not hit either side of the wall. I mean, that's what he could do. I mean, that's a genius. So now you walk up to him and say, "Ben, you mean to tell me that you can't take this putter back and roll the ball on the green? What are you thinking about?" See, but you know, of course, you couldn't do that. But I mean, that's the silliness of putting. And gosh, look at all the apparatuses you can buy to putt better.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And all the concepts.
Wait a minute. I've never heard anybody describe using the analogy, if it is an analogy or not true, about hitting a two iron down a hallway in a hotel room and not hitting the walls. Is that actually a story that happened, or is that just?
You hear all kinds of stories about him, just like you do Mo Norman. Yeah. But he actually had a bet that he could do it, and he did. He ripped it right off the carpet.
Phenomenal.
The guy could not only control the flight of the ball, but the trajectory of the ball. It was magical. Believe me when I tell you, it was magical. Watching him play that Olympic Club is really hard course, as you know. Mm. And then they had it set up for the Open, and he made it look like Toyland. It was just, he just went around that golf course and just diced it. And in fact, I was a very low handicap player. I was in the plus area. And when I saw him play, I realized I really don't know how to play golf. Because it was watching a master, you know, do a painting or something. I felt I was happy to see it, but I was very insecure when I got in my car. I can say that.
Early on in the episode, Tony and I talked about Radio Baseball Cards, which is a radio show that I created years ago and have repurposed it as a podcast. Season 4 will begin when Major League Baseball starts their season. If you're a fan of baseball or baseball history, then please check it out. Our first 3 episodes have been published, and they're currently available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Each episode's only about 2 minutes long, but they feature the just incredible stories as told by the greatest baseball players of the 20th century, including many, many Hall of Famers, so many of which are no longer alive. Now, what I loved about talking to Tony was not just his vast knowledge of the golf swing and how to interpret it for any skilled golfer, but that he was just so damned interesting, right? That's why we promoted one topic for this episode, but really didn't get into it immediately. So for part two of this conversation, we get into the topic that I intended, which is taking your game to the next level, one club at a time. Mulligan's 48 picks up right where we ended this conversation. And next week, we'll keep that topic going to discuss wedge play in addition to the longer clubs. So please make sure to subscribe to both Golf Smarter and Golf Smarter Mulligans wherever you get your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss the best free golf instruction you'll ever receive. Now, after Tony's passing in 2018, I worked with his co-writer, Paul Cervantes, to make sure that the book is available in both paperback and Kindle format. I'm going to leave a link in today's show notes and also in our blog at golfsmarter.com. where you can get the book. Now, if you want the video too, then just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com or send me an email, golfsmarterpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll send you information on how to get private access to the video online. And as I said earlier, Johnny Martinez just loved it and wrote to me saying, I need the video as well. For more information on Tony, of course, go to golfsmarter.com/Tony. I have a full page about Tony and the charity that we created after his passing to help and send money over to First Tee of Coachella Valley, where he lived, and help the young kids there who are never going to get a chance to work with Tony. I miss him. So, Golf Smarter Mulligans is brought to you by twoguyswithgolfballs.com. Hey, don't miss out the opportunity here. Again, you have till April 1st, 2020. You only have a few days left, but you can get amazing savings. Just spend more than $49 at twoguyswithgolfballs.com, and then you'll get a 20% discount when you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. Again, twoguyswithgolfballs.com for premium used golf balls at half what you're usually paying for any golf ball. And it's T-W-O, twoguyswithgolfballs.com. And again, that sale ends April 1st, 2020. Take advantage of it. Now, a couple of notes about coronavirus and golf. First of all, please, please, please take the warning seriously. Even if you don't have any symptoms, you could still be infected. And if you're over 60 like me, don't be arrogant about your health. We are the most vulnerable, those of us over 60, even if we feel healthy. But let's talk about why golf is the greatest opportunity to keep our sanity during the crisis. It's outdoors. You're never with more than three people at a time. And keeping social isolation is not difficult. You see you guys on the tee, you see them on the green, but you don't need to stand next to each other. You can keep 6 feet apart. You could be wearing a glove. And now that our pace in life has been forced to slow down, walk the golf course. It's better for you. Again, it helps your sanity. And that way you don't have to touch anything other than your own stuff. Here's what a couple of courses are doing here in Marin County to help our addiction. The Meadow Club, a private club, is open to members, but closed to guests. Peacock Gap is not taking any transactions with cash or credit card because their clubhouse is closed, but they're allowing you to book a tee time online at golfnow.com and using the honor system for the players. So if you've booked a tee time, you're allowed to go out there. Don't abuse it. Come on. Indian Valley is turning the cups. I love this one. The golf holes, you know, they put them cups, right? So they turn them upside down so that you don't have to touch the flag or reach into the cup to retrieve your ball. So as long as you hit the cup, the putt is good, right? That's a gimme, but you got to hit the cup. And also my buddy Neil, you've met him before. We've talked about things with him and about him. He posted a piece on LinkedIn about our experience on the golf course together. I'll leave a link in today's show notes for you to read. So please don't dismiss the urgency, but do what you can to keep your sanity. Stay tuned, stay safe, play golf, and follow us at Golf Smarter on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Read more about our weekly content in LinkedIn, or if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. I'll be back next week, promise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.